How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right, I'm calling this Gotta Have It Weekend. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. Look who's back in the house. One of the guys that we streamed with when we first got the channel going, the great John Chapman is here. We're going to have a lot of fun. Join us. And why don't you join us, I don't know, like right now. Bright and early for me on the West Coast, 8:35 on the West Coast, 11:35 Eastern, and I hope you're having a fantastic December the 7th. Get out there, shop. Get out there and shop. There's only 20 buying days left, roughly, for you guys to get me something. So get out there and shop your butt off. And watch some college football. It's a big college football day today as well. We will be doing a little bit of both, but before we do any of that, before we get into shopping, before we get into college football, before I take my 14-year-old to a batting cage so that he does not get cut from baseball tryouts in 3 weeks, that is what I've got going on a Saturday. We get it rolling, though, with some Niner talk. And at 10, we'll be on KMBR from 10 to 11 for 49er Forecast. Dave Lombardi's going to stop by. We're going to play our conversation yesterday with Keyshawn Vaughn, one of the great names in pro football. We'll see if he gets the activation from the practice squad today. I'm hoping for Key. But John Chapman is here. We're going to talk Niners for the next hour on the Krug Show and the John Chapman Extravaganza 49er Rush podcast. John, good to see you, man. I love the hat. You got the Trent Williams lid. If Trent were here, he'd be like, good man. He's got that lid going. I think Trent owns part of that, doesn't he?
And he, you know, what they do with residency is just, it's incredible. I mean, you see Shanahan, you see all the Niners players wearing it. So anyway, we can support local business, man. I'm all about it. Residency.com. Go check it out. But man, Larry, it's good to be together. I miss you.
It's been a while, man. It's been a while. You were a Texas teacher when we last spoke, and now you're a Californian, correct?
That's right. Living here in the Bay Area, and, you know, my Longhorns, I'm still a Longhorn. They played today for the SEC Championship, so it's a fun football weekend. And rematch. Obviously, with what's at stake with the 49ers, this weekend is paramount for how the rest of the season's going to go. It's the back's against the wall, man. Got to get it done this week.
Uh-oh, we already have beef in the chat. Invader 49er, who used to be a fan of mine, says, I'm just here for Champman.
Invader's a mess, man. He's awesome.
I think he means Chapman, but come on, Invader. Give me another shot. Say it ain't so. Say you're here for both of us. J-Dub says, I love Chapman. Gundo 100 says, this needs to be a regular show, guys. We can discuss that for sure. John, tell us a little bit about, because before we get into Niners, let's talk a little bit about you for a sec, because you have been doing this for a while, probably longer than, you know, you've seen, let's just say this, you set a trend, you've seen a bunch of people follow you over here to YouTube. What do you think of the growth and the evolution of the 49er, you know, the 49er nation, if you want to call it that, the 49er empire, the 49er content creator crowd, whatever you want to call it, but it is proliferated by many, many, many people. You were one of the first there. How's it gone for you? And what do you think of the unbelievable growth in this part of the YouTube world?
I love it. I'm not a big competition person. Like, I don't believe in that. I think there's enough room for everybody. And so whenever people reach out like, hey, I want to do what you do, my answer is always awesome. Let's figure out a way to help. And so, like, I think that's beautiful. The Niners fans are spoiled because we have more shows than any football fan base. It's not even close. This is my year. This is my eighth year doing the podcast thing. And it's kind of weird. Like, it came out of happenstance because I was coaching football in Texas. Wife and I became foster parents, and I was sleeping in my office. I coached at Duncanville, Texas, if you know anything about Texas football.
Yes, I do.
Back state champs, you know, one of the largest programs in the country. But, like, I was sleeping in my office a couple nights a week during football. I couldn't do that anymore. So I had to walk away from coaching, which was my career, and I needed a football outlet. And so started talking Niners, and here we are. Now it's my full-time employment, and very, very thankful. But, no, I love – you know, I try my hardest to support everybody, but when you're recording 2 to 3 shows a day, which, Larry, you know more than anybody, it's hard to step back and in your off time go listen to all these other shows, even though they're amazing and they deserve merit and time. It's finding downtime is difficult, but I'm so thankful for the relationships I've built across this industry and friends and anybody I could support, even if I don't agree with their taste, which I'm kind of a jerk, so I don't agree with everybody, but even if I disagree with people, I really hope everybody gets to eat here. That's kind of what I want.
And where are you at as far as, I mean, how many subs are now on the Chapman Extravaganza on the 49er Rush podcast on YouTube? You've been grinding it for a while, man. And you're really, I remember when I got started, you were one of my early inspirations. I'm like, wow, John's teaching school. John's got a family. John's got a wife. John's got a life. And yet he's still grinding. And I was like, it was almost kind of like, hey man, if John can do it, you can do it too, you know, kind of a thing back in those early days. But where are you at subs wise, has your channel evolved in any way since the start?
You know, like, because we started so early with the podcast, we started, you know, just audio platform. That's where the majority of our stuff still is. Yeah, we do YouTube. Yeah, we do that. But, you know, we get about 15,000 to 20,000 plays, downloads per episode, which very happy for. And we were able to kind of shift. Like, I'm not the viral guy. I'm not a hot take guy. Never have been. Never going to be. That's not really what we're doing. Education, you know, as a teacher coach, that's where I always want to be. So we have our Patreon page and our website called the49ersrush.com, where we break down every offense, defense, special teams tape for the past 4 years. We've never missed a play. That's where the majority of our time is spent. That's kind of what I enjoy the most. You could turn on all these Niner shows and they're great, and they're going to be talking about a lot of similar topics. I'm a film guy as a coach, so I want to spend my time going over scheme and adjustments and leverage and just kind of what works, what doesn't, run fits. Like, I could do that all day. And so that's what I spend the majority of my time on.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And it's great to hear. Great to have you back. We're going to start with this topic. I saw this morning, and I'm not sure if this is from today or yesterday, but I'm going to add this to our stage here. This is ESPN. Here we go.
Not this offseason. I wouldn't. I need to see
more. Let me rewind this a little bit. Here we go.
Would you pay Brock Purdy top-tier money?
Not this offseason. I wouldn't. I need to see more from Brock Purdy. And it's not an instance where I don't think he's capable. It's just that I haven't seen him elevate the play of everyone around him. In a lot of ways, Brock Purdy has been like a mirror reflecting the talent that's around him. And when he doesn't have Trent Williams in the lineup, when he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey in the lineup, when he doesn't have Deebo Samuel, when he doesn't have George Kittle, when he doesn't have Brandon Ayuk, you're getting a different version of Brock Purdy. In the 27 games when he's had Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, Brock Purdy's got 47 touchdowns to 16 interceptions and a 109 rating. In the 9 games where Christian McCaffrey is out, when he hasn't had him, he's got a losing record, 10 touchdowns to 7 interceptions and a 93 rating. So I am looking at the situation that the 49ers are in now, given where a lot of the core of this team is headed from an agent contract-wise, and I need to be able to have more proof of concept that Brock Purdy can be a force multiplier rather than a passenger on a supremely talented roster.
Go ahead.
What, you need another year of what? Him playing top five quarterback football?
Yeah, when he's got top five. First of all, when we start looking at the all-pro players that were around Brock Purdy, the guy had five all-pro players just on the offensive side of the ball alone last year, Dan.
Okay,
you're not going to always be able to have that when you've got to pay your quarterback $55, $60 million a year. And that's the size of the commitment that we're talking about the Niners making. So I want to see more proof of concept. And it's unfortunate that the Niners have had the injury luck that they've been dealt this year. But I do think the silver lining in it all is seeing exactly what you have in Brock Purdy in terms of being a guy that can make players better when it's next man up.
Okay. All right, there you go. A little bit of ESPN from, I guess, either this morning or yesterday. Chris Canty on the left was making the point. That was Mina Kimes in the middle, for those of you watching on YouTube. And then the second voice you heard was Dan Orlovsky, former backup quarterback with the Detroit Lions, who is an ESPN commentator and would kind of push back. What do you think, John? This is the kind of the debate around the team, not necessarily on the field right now, but this one's looming. And there's an awful lot of people, and it's kind of annoying to me. There's an awful lot of people who are like, I love Brock Purdy, but then I spend most of my time ripping him in tweets and saying why he's not legitimate. I love Brock Purdy, but you're not going to pay. Don't pay him. Oh my God. You're going to pay him. All these other teams find a way to pay their guys. You know, Baltimore found a way to pay Lamar. Philly looks pretty damn good right now. I don't know. They paid Jalen Hurts $55 million. I don't know how they're doing it. Right. Somehow they could field a team around him. And that team looks better than the Niners. So where are you with Brock Purdy? Pay him now, pay him later. Don't pay him. Move on. Where are you?
I think the number one constant I want to go with is Brock Purdy's the quarterback for the 49ers for the future. I don't think that that's in question. I don't think that's been in question. Obviously, this year's not as good as his past couple years. We understand that. But the thing about quarterbacks that's different than Brandon Ayuk or offensive tackle or whatever else is the longevity of their playing career. You can play into your 40s. Brock Purdy's not even close to that. So you don't have to do this 3-year or 4-year deal. You could do a long-term deal that you saw with Jalen Hurts, as you mentioned, and as you saw with Patrick Mahomes. Is he in that realm? I put him in the realm of Jalen Hurts for sure. I care more, and I know everybody focuses on the amount per year. Don't pay him 60. Don't pay him 60. He's not worth 60. I don't care that much about that. What I care about is the cap hits and how the ultimate guaranteed money is built in. The Jalen Hurts deal is the kind of carbon copy blueprint that I want to use, where it's got all of these kind of 2- and 3-year built-in re-guarantee restructures to give the team financial flexibility. You look at the deal Kyler Murray got. You look at the deal Matthew Stafford got. Not a lot of flexibility whatsoever in those deals. Those were not team-friendly contracts. Deshaun Watson, not team-friendly. So the way in which they structure the deal is what I care about the most. If I cared about APY, I'd say that $55 million is probably where he's going to be. Is that what he quote-unquote deserves or the level he's playing at now? I don't think that that's really what figures into these contract details and negotiations. I don't think that's how it works. You look at somebody like Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence getting $55 million. Statistically, you could stack Purdy against them easily. More playoff wins. But like, I mean, he's above those guys. And that's about where I think the contract's going to be. But I want that 6-7-8-year deal. That's what I care most about, Larry. But make no mistake, Brock Purdy's not going anywhere. He's going to be around for the future.
What do you look at this year? And by the way, I was so excited getting John in here that I never even mentioned that we are brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out, Emeryville, Coeur de Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. We're also brought to you by Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, 205 Cypress Avenue, Pacific Grove, California. Thanks to Anthony Catania. He's at 831-521-5264. And, of course, this live stream is sponsored by Better, the official daily fantasy sponsor of The Krug Show, which is why you see them on the screen. Use Better to make daily fantasy lineups and win real money. Download the app below. Make sure you use the promo code Niners to get your first deposit matched up to $200. And congratulations to our winner of the Fred Warner jersey. That was Carlos Olivas, who reached out. We reached out to him yesterday and thanked him, but we got that Fred Warner jersey to him, autographed. Congrats to him for winning our contest. So are you in a spot? I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know me, I think Purdy's a very good quarterback.
You were on him before everybody else.
I mean, I thought he was a very good quarterback. As soon as my buddy was like, Krug, go, you know, because I bagged him on the draft. I'm watching the draft, and I'm like, okay, they'll get a linebacker. They'll get a lineman. They'll get another corner, a seventh round this, a seventh round that. You know me. And then all of a sudden, Brock Purdy, and I'm like, oh, they went for a smallish backup quarterback from college. He's a great college quarterback who's never going to do anything in the pros. And so I was wrong. And a buddy of mine heard it, and he's a scout, and he scouts in that part of the country. And he's like, dude, I've been to Ames a bunch. I know all about Brock Purdy. I've talked to him. I've met him. I've talked to Campbell, talked to their coaches, their players. This kid is the real deal. You could not be more wrong, Krug. I'm going to send you the film that I looked at. Watch it. Tell me what you think. It was really, really long. I watched it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I did. I you know, this guy looks better, but he still looks kind of weak-armed. I go, you know, his arm's kind of weak. He's like, you know, he's doing some things. He's in Jacksonville right now. He's working with some guys. He's going to be have better arm strength. Wait, just wait. You're going to see a better arm strength guy closer to the draft. I'm like, all right, but, you know, I just saw him for 4 years in college. You tell me it's not going to be the same guy? So I'm skeptical. I go to minicamp. He looked great in minicamp. Great. I mean, looked like he was the star of minicamp. And I'm looking around. Nobody seems to be saying anything. I'm like, this guy looks good. But I still, it's minicamp, John. I can't go crazy off minicamp. I mean, otherwise, I'm a rook. I'm a rookie. I've never been there before. So I don't say anything. I wait till training camp. I'm on the field at training camp. I look at Tim Ryan. I'm like, this guy looks good to me, Tim. Tim's like, he looks good to me, too. Then he goes and plays great in the preseason. And I was absolutely convinced he was the guy. Tim was as well. And I have never not been convinced since that point. But there are an awful lot of people that look at the backslide this year and kind of make the same points that Canty made, that, man, Brock is a product of Christian. Brock is a product of the Avengers. Brock is a product of Kyle. Brock is a product of the surroundings. He's not it. And I would say, I would push back even harder on those people and say he's so good at what he does that so many of the things that he does exceptionally well, you're not even seeing. And it took until the NFC Championship game when he came out, and it was like the Niners were like non-functional as soon as he came out, and they didn't look too good without him with Brandon Allen. So I think he's the guy. But what do you say to the people who say he's a product of his surroundings?
Yeah, you know, the way that Brock had so much success early on is a little disassociated with the 2024 season. And there's definitely, I think him and Kyle are a pair. And probably one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the 49ers' future, even though you're 5-7, is anytime you have a creative play caller and a young quarterback that has had success in the system, keeping those two together, that's paramount for the 49ers' future. So as long as Kyle and Purdy are together, I have confidence in this team. Now, does that mean you're going to win Super Bowls every year, like, you know, or, you know, make it to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship? No, it doesn't. The NFL is a pretty damn tough league. But my biggest question, and I think that this, hopefully this resonates with a lot of the players that are maybe, or people that are anti-Brock or upset with what they're seeing now, he's gone away from his bread and butter. The check down and just understanding how to distribute the ball and the system quarterback label is not a negative. I don't know why that is. I don't know how that got created. I think that that is asinine, and coaches, players love that stuff. He's got away from it. And when Christian McCaffrey's not in there, I could count probably 15 times he's looked Jordan Mason dead in the face on just a outlet pass, and he just skips over it, and he'll run it or he'll throw a difficult pass or whatever else. Like, he doesn't have trust for certain players in this offense. And so, like, that is a concern when you have so many injuries. He doesn't trust Jordan Mason. He doesn't trust Eric Saubert. Maybe rightfully so, but when the scheme gives you layups and simplicity, take it, to stay ahead of the chains. And we've kind of gotten away from that this year.
Yeah.
The lack of screens, the lack of jet sweeps, the lack of checkdowns, that has just increased the level of difficulty for Brock. And especially whenever you're not playing behind the best offensive line, I would argue this is the worst offensive line he's played behind since he's been in the NFL. So it's just all these things keep adding up, the fumbles. There's a lot there, but having said all those things, Brock Purdy is still a top 10 quarterback. I don't want to put him in the top five quarterback yet, but you could see it. First and second year, that's where he was. This year, not so much. Protect the ball a little better. Get back to some of the layups. That's the recipe for success, and I really hope that we see that in the last part of the season.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for six straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And Brock can help that out by being a little bit more patient. He's a little, you know, if there's one thing that Brock and Kyle share, it's that they're both impatient. And Brock doesn't look like Brett Favre, but that's the comp for me. He wants to attack. He's a riverboat gambler. He wants to attack down the field. If he's got a guy open short, he's got a guy open intermediate, he's got a guy open deep, he's going deep. You know, he's going deep. And I love that aggressive mentality. I hated it from Favre and hated seeing the Niners go against him. But I love that aggressive mentality, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. He needs to be a little bit more patient. He needs to take. There have been times where they've turned it over and they've had guys wide open in the flat and plenty of time on the clock. Just take what the defense gives you. Don't try to do more than what you can do. That would be first and foremost. Now, we got one guy in here who's got kind of crystallizes my next question for you. And that's Zuka. He says, "Kyle is a good coach. He will get you close, but then lose it. History shows it, and how bad a recross He is in the fourth quarter, three losses in the division, still choking just like the Super Bowl. And then he goes on and doubles down. He says Kyle's has enough of a track record to see he's not it. Okay, well, the one thing that is disturbing is the 49ers have a minus 25-point differential in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if they're fatigued, they're running out of gas, or what's going on. But we'll focus on that in a second. This is more about Kyle. Where are you with Shanahan? What's wrong with Shanahan? And when I say that, I mean physically, he just doesn't look right to me. He just looks tired. He looks, I don't know. I can't even describe it. He looks kind of weathered and tired and beaten down. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not worried about his. I mean, he's in good shape and everything. He's, you know, but he just doesn't look fully right physically. I don't know. That's what I see. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor. But as far as him as a coach, I think that a lot of it is that they're not playing situational football on either side of the ball worth a damn, John. And they're so bad in situational football on the defensive side. I mean, I couldn't believe the numbers. I thought the Niners were 9 for their last 9 against in the red zone. They're 11 for 11 against. The last three games, teams have gotten to the red zone 11 times and scored 11 touchdowns. It's like almost impossible. You can't be worse. I tried to explain that to Sorensen, and he's not dodging. He's like, but he's got no answers. So the question I would say to you, all these people are like, Kyle can't finish. Kyle's not the guy. You have to, John, you're a football coach, whether it's high school, Pop Warner, college, or pro. If you don't play good situational football, you don't win close games. You win blowouts, but you don't win close games because situational football is highlighted in close games. They are not playing good situational football, and it's been kind of a steady erosion, I feel like, over the last couple of years. And to me, that's why they're losing close games. And I think Kyle gets a little pass happy at times. I think history has shown that. But I think overall it's about situational football, the little things. They're not doing the little things, and you don't beat good teams if you don't do the little things right. As a football coach, what do you see?
Yeah, it's a lack of fundamentals on offense, defense, and special teams consistently that are not getting corrected after multiple mistakes. That's an issue. And so, you know, we look at why do the 49ers struggle so much in the fourth quarter? It has to start with the defense. Your bottom two in fourth quarter scoring. And this is a stat that Steve Wilks, the 49ers defense last year, was number one the entire season. The entire season, they finished first. Now we're 31st. Yeah, the offense is right in the middle, so that's not where you want to be either with the Kyle Shanahan offense and the weapons that you have. So that's a criticism, but being 16th and 31st are drastically different. Every single team the 49ers have played 12 games this year has scored points in the fourth quarter. Every single team has scored points against the 49ers in the fourth quarter this year. Whereas last year, again, the defense, the roster's different. I understand all those things. You had 11 fourth quarter shutouts last season. That's dissipated. That's gone. That's gone. And I get the Kyle Shanahan criticism. I'm with you. Situational play calling. You run the ball successfully 6 consecutive times. Then you go for a 4th-and-2 empty set. And you take away the illusion or the threat of the run whatsoever. Like, you're giving the answers to the test away. There are major, major issues. However, I'm going to push back. Nuance takes kind of my thing. Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl walked onto the field losing 3 times. Walked off the field with the lead 3 times in the fourth quarter in overtime. That ain't on Kyle. Kyle and the offense did not, quote-unquote, choke against the Chiefs. They got the lead 3 times in the fourth quarter in overtime when they walked off the field. The defense, that same Steve Wilks defense that I was just hyping up, let it go. You got Patrick Mahomes. It's what happens to every team that plays against Patrick Mahomes, except for Tom Brady. He's the only one that's beat him in the Super Bowl, right? That's a thing. So, and again, you want to talk about like Kyle being a terrible coach or whatever. He's got 8 playoff wins. Do you know Kyle has the same amount of playoff wins as his father, Mike Shanahan? He has the same amount of playoff wins as Mike Tomlin, who everybody, myself included, would say is the best or definitely one of the top 2 coaches in the NFL. Yes, you got the two Super Bowl losses. I understand that. And that I'm not trying to discount that, but you don't get the Super Bowl losses unless you're so consistent in the playoffs. He's two wins away from Bill Walsh in the playoffs.
Wait, and you can't say he has no big wins when the guy's been to two Super Bowls.
Right, right. And so the criticism is there. And I'm not trying to discount it. And I think it was probably not smart when John Lynch was like, oh, it's comical. Like, fans want to hear you. They want to feel validated. They want to understand you're frustrated. And you should be frustrated with Shanahan. I have a half page, a page and a half grievance list of Kyle Shanahan. Having said those things, he should still be the 49ers head coach moving forward. I do not want to move off that. Doesn't mean he doesn't have issues. He's got a lot of issues. But you definitely have a schematic advantage every single time the 49ers step on the field offensively, especially in the first half, when Kyle Shanahan is calling plays, period. Like that, I don't think anybody really disagrees with that. Now, fourth quarter play calling, relying on the pass whenever it's a one-score game, getting away from your tendencies, no play actions, no screens this year. Yes, concerns. Fixable concerns. And I know everybody wants to be like, well, let's get Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's doing a hell of a job. You look at that Detroit Lions offensive line, then look at the 49ers and tell me there's going to be similarities if you brought Ben Johnson over here. I don't care how good Ben Johnson is. He ain't doing what he's doing in Detroit with this offensive line. That's another Kyle Shanahan critique as well. So, but Kyle's the guy moving forward. Him and Brock are going to be paired together, and rightfully so. And 49ers fans should be excited about that.
You know, it is funny. Everybody looks over at Detroit, and yet some Niner fans look over at Detroit and like, oh, I want Ben Johnson. I want Ben Johnson. I look over at Detroit, and I say, I want Jahmyr Gibbs. I look at Detroit, and I say, I want Penei Sewell, you know? I look at Detroit, and I say, I want that offensive line across the board, 1 through 5, especially the way they finished that game the other night. I mean, that was big boy football. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? My best unit is my offensive line. I'm going to run behind my offensive line. I'm not going to put it on my defense or DBs to try to play defense for 40 seconds. I'm going to burn this clock and kick the field goal, and I'm going to lean on my best unit, which is, in Detroit's case, their offensive line. So it's funny. I like Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson's really a good coordinator. I think his play calling in the red zone is very creative. But, man, he's got literally – and I look at Detroit. If you said to me, Detroit – product of coaching, product of personnel, their personnel. They get the best offensive line. They get the best receiving tight end. They got two of the best running backs. They got some of the best receivers. Goff has been elevated. Hutchinson's phenomenal. Brian Branch is a Hall of Famer. I mean, Gilmore? Now, who's the GM there? Brad Holmes.
There we go.
Brad Holmes is I can't even remember the guy's name, and he's probably the hottest GM in the sport right now. And they're a product of personnel. I mean, Dan Campbell is I don't care if you got one ass cheek and three fingers, I'll kick your ass. That's fine. And that gets headlines and everybody's like, oh, Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's great. But the story there is Brad Holmes, who was with the Rams and Charlie Army and that incredible personnel group that they had there in the late 90s with Vermeil, came here to Detroit, and now Detroit is hitting. Detroit is hitting in the draft, and they're not just hitting. They're finding stars. They're finding the best player at their position. And in every round, it seems like, they're really incredible. So I've got a long list of complaints with Kyle Shanahan as well. But guess what? I got a buddy who – you know, one of his favorite sayings, we'll be walking down the street, he'll see some beautiful woman. He'll be like, somebody's tired of sleeping with that, you know? And then I'm like, you know, it's not the most PC thing, but the guy says that and he's kind of right. And you know what? It's kind of these relationships. Kyle Shanahan is, you know, there's a lot of people that are just tired of Kyle Shanahan because of all the years, but look at the success. I mean, 4 NFC championship games in the last 5 years. That's hard to do. And I realize that we're in kind of an all or nothing world and we're all about that 6th Lombardi. And that's great to be all about it, but you can't be so all about it that you're going to destroy, you know, does your kid come home with a 3.95 and you lose your S because somebody in her class had a 4.2? I mean, no, of course, come on. You're not going to get mad at your 3.9 student And that's what Kyle Shanahan is. He's got a 3.75 in a league where there's a couple teams that have a 4.2 and there's a couple teams that have a 4.0. And you know what I mean? I mean, that's how I see it. But
we're talking about Ben Johnson and everybody's clamoring for him. Guess who knocked Ben Johnson out of the playoffs last year?
Right.
Guess who hasn't been to the Super Bowl ever in their franchise history? Like, they haven't even been there. Like, so if you're just looking at, okay, Ben Johnson versus Kyle Shanahan, they're both going to have some positives for sure. But we don't know. Ben Johnson hasn't been a head coach, hasn't done that. And I'm going to be really honest with 49ers fans. Even if you did move on from Kyle Shanahan, I'm not sure this is the place Ben Johnson would come. I think he would choose the Bears over this job currently because the way that they're built. They have a better offensive line. They have Caleb Williams over Brock Purdy. Obviously, that's a whole different discussion. But I'm just telling you, I don't think that the 49ers fans think we can get any coach we want. I don't think that's the case. Why would you want to be a coach that replaces Kyle Shanahan, who had all that success and people are still trying to run him off? Whereas you go to the Bears, and if you win a wild card game, you're freaking getting a stadium put up or a statue put up for you. It's different. We're spoiled. That's a good thing. But we got to rein it back a little bit to reality, I think, sometimes. Frustration's key. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, no question. Let's hit a couple of these supers. Nathan McFadden says, John and Larry, great combo. Do this regularly. Nathan, I think we probably will. Mason Wright says, who's your guys' pick for the Big Ten championship? It sounds crazy to say I'll take Oregon for the Big Ten championship. I'll take Oregon.
I'm a Franklin guy just because I like a lot of the things he does. Obviously, he's got some major issues. But, I think Oregon's going to win it. I love that Dylan Gabriel left OU. Makes me happy. Hook him, baby. I'm going to go Oregon.
I like James Franklin, too. I really do. I think he's a solid person. Penn State's got a great program, but give me the Ducks this year. I'm not a Dylan Gabriel fan at the next level, but in college, he's a very good college quarterback.
Exactly.
CSL in the casinos is Chapman and Kruger. Your thoughts on our new left guard, number 78, talking about Big Ben Bartsch. He could be our best guard in years other than Dom Pooney. Enough Purdy talk, some points over and over and over again. Our same points over and over and over again. I hear you, but you know, John and I haven't talked in a while. We definitely had to talk a little Purdy. Go ahead, John. What do you think of Ben Bartsch? This was a man who was, the Ben Bartsch story. He was a Division III offensive lineman dreaming of playing in the NFL, and it wasn't happening. It didn't look like it was going to happen. And so, his coaches are like, Ben, you got no shot at a pro career. And, you know, he came up with this concoction. It was like Gatorade, grits, eggs. I wrote it down. Anyway, what do you think of Bartsch? I'll dig up the concoction here as we're sitting here. But, no question, Ben Bartsch played well. He only allowed one pressure in 24 pass-blocking snaps. And I talked to him in the locker room yesterday. And great dude. And he's really fired up to have this opportunity. And the big loser last week, I hate to say it because I love the guy, but Aaron Banks. How do you pay Aaron Banks the kind of money that Aaron Banks is going to want? And he's a local guy from El Cerrito. When you've got Bartsch playing him, outplaying him, and the week before, I don't know what you thought of that film, but I love Banks as a guy. I think he's a terrific person. But man, I thought Carl Brooks owned him in that Green Bay game. And Brooks is the backup interior guy. He beat him with speed. He beat him with quickness. He beat him with power. He beat him repeatedly. So Bartsch looked great, and I don't know that bodes well for Banks getting a contract here. But what did you think of Bartsch?
Man, I thought he was awesome. And the crazy, he's been in the league for I think five. This is fifth year. He's only 26. He's a year older than Dominique Pooney. Like, you have the opportunity here to actually have like a tandem, which that could happen. Obviously played way better than the injured Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks has been banged up for 2 years. And I think Aaron Banks is a very good offensive lineman in the NFL when he's 100% healthy. Now, Banks is an iron man. Literally see on tape him snapping his finger back in place without missing a play. Like, he is a gladiator. But when something is ailing him, he'll play through it. He's not very good. When he's 100% healthy, which isn't often, he's great. However, Ben Barch's tape that he put up. Now, it's in the snow, so you have to kind of – that's always in the offensive line's favor anytime there's bad weather. But that was better tape than any game Aaron Banks has had since week 3, 2023, before he got that first turf toe injury. Aaron Banks was playing on a Pro Bowl level for those first 3 weeks last year till he got his first turf toe, and then it was bad. Then he got a second turf toe, and then it was terrible. But I don't care if Aaron Banks is cleared. I know he's questionable, and they're trying to get him cleared. We got to see Ben Barch. We got to see Ben Barch moving forward. And one of my biggest critiques, I'm a big Chris Forster fan as a coach. I could listen to that. He's my favorite press conference guy there is. I could listen to him talk for days. However, my biggest Chris Forster complaint is he does not allow anybody to get backup reps. We've been blown out the past 2 weeks. You got nobody in there, young guys, to see. Jake Brindle's the only center that's taken snaps this year. Why? Jake Brindle hasn't been the answer. Has not been. Let's see. What if there's a Ben Barch waiting behind center and Nick Sakel?
Drake Nugent.
Good Lord. Why not? You're down 25 points in the fourth quarter. Why is 32-year-old Jake Brindle out there taking snaps? What are we gaining from that? He's quitting anyway. You watch the film whenever those last two blowout games. That dude quit that last fourth quarter. Done. He did not want to be out there. He does not want to play in that. So why don't we get somebody else out there and get him a shot just to see? Because Ben Barch comes off the bench, and it's like, holy cow, we're doing some things. Do I think Ben Barch is going to have another incredible game this week? I don't know, but the possibility is way better than an injured Aaron Banks toughing it out. That's not the answer. So I want more Ben Barch in my life.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind more Jalen Moore. I mean, look how well Jalen Moore has played at left tackle, and it makes you wonder if Colton struggles or if Barch if Brendel struggles, Colton can play center. Why don't you put Colton at center and let Moore play a little right tackle, get some bigger bodies out there and see if you can start moving some people. But Barch was a third-string tight end at Division III St. John's University in Minnesota. Ooh. He was a 6'6", 250-pound backup tight end. He decided to eat this concoction. 7 scrambled eggs, a gigantic tub of cottage cheese, quick grits, peanut butter, banana, and Gatorade. And then he put it in a blend. First of all those things are fine. Why not just eat all those things? Instead, he puts it in a blender and chokes it down as a protein shake. And his quote was, "I would just throw it all in and then plug my nose. In the dark, I would gag sometimes. That's what you have to do to put on weight." But he put on weight. The guy put on like 50 pounds. He's now 300 pounds. And good for him. Good for him.
You know, it's funny. I remember whenever we first got him and I was doing some research and I saw the grits thing and I was like, oh, he's from the South. And then I read quick grits and I was like, no, he's not. He's a Northern.
You know, it's funny too about that because I asked Forster, I said, you know, because I like Barch in the draft process because I just read that some stories about him and I think I saw him in one of the All-Star games and liked him. And I asked Chris when they got him, I'm like, Chris, you know, I really like this player. What, you know, how'd you get him? And tell us the story. And he told me the Jacksonville O-line coach was a buddy of mine. And, you know, they put him on the practice squad. And you know, the difference between practice squad money, it's about 200 grand. NFL minimum is like 800 grand. So he's trying to do right the position coach is trying to do right by Barch by suggesting to Chris, hey, this guy would be a perfect fit for his own scheme like you guys have and this and that. And he talked Chris up over breakfast, and when they put him on practice squad, the Niners plucked him, and they like him. So, you know,
we don't draft 6'6", 315, like guards that are undersized. We don't do that. And so it's kind of a weird fit. And I like it. And you might be able to get him super cheap because, you know, his accrued years, they're not there. He's only played. Their accrued years are there because of what he's done on special teams. So, yeah, you'll have to do a deal with him, but you get him cheap. This could be the new discount offensive lineman that Jake Brindle was. But now that window's closing, you could replace that if you could prove starter level worthiness these last 5 games. And that's what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with linemen that aren't premier, they're not first and second round picks, you're just going to kind of make do. then you can't pay any of those guys, right? And then all of a sudden it's like you probably want to go with the younger, cheaper guys. So that doesn't bode well for Brendel. That doesn't bode well for Banks, you know, as far as these guys getting paid. They, you know, I'd love to see some turnover on that offensive line, to be completely honest. One guy who's not producing right now is Ricky Pearsall. And I want to share the screen on this. I asked Brock about him yesterday, and here's what he said. This is off Coach Yak's Twitter as well. Let me see if I can. Let's see if we can get this fast forwarded or rewinded. Here we go. Here's Brock Purdy yesterday in Santa Clara. I asked him about what's going on. I mean, Ricky Pearsall, 63 routes run the last three games. He's done absolutely nothing. What's the story?
I mean, obviously, I'd love to get Ricky the ball as many times as we can. I know that he's explosive and he does a good job with creating separation and man coverage. So as a quarterback, it's like, dude, for sure, I want to get him the ball. And I love the kid. He's awesome. But for some reason, just with how the game has gone, when I've been in there and stuff, you know, I just haven't been able to connect to him within the last three games. So I don't, for me, it's not like I'm freaking out going, all right, Ricky and I, our chemistry's off, this or that. That's just how the game's gone, man. Going through progressions, I fit some other guys. I don't know exactly, you know, why Ricky hasn't been like a certain target in a certain play. It's just I'm going through my progressions and that's it. So, but you know, if you know, going into a game, man, like I said, I'd want to get everybody the ball as best as I can. JJ, George, Debo, Ricky, all those guys deserve it, and I want to play for them and get them the ball as much. But it's just how the last three games have gone.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
John, what's your take? What's going on with Pearsall? Is Pearsall a bust? There were other receivers there. They could have had Ladd McConkey. McConkey's playing better. They could have had Keon Coleman. Coleman's playing better. They could have had Xavier Leggett. Leggett's playing better. I wanted Nick Frazier. Nick Frazier's been a stalwart. He went 20 picks later to Pittsburgh, and could you imagine how good the Niner line would
Frazier.
Be?
Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier.
What'd I call him?
Nick Frazier.
Yeah.
I'd take Frazier. Him at Nick Frazier. I don't care. I love that dude.
Zach Frazier was a monster at West Virginia. He got hurt in one game. They tried to cart him off, and he like crawled off. He was like, I will not be carted off this field. And he's just a tough guy. If you had had Frazier and Pooney, now your offensive line's even that much more kind of rebuilt. That's the direction I would have gone. They went with Pearsall. They liked Pearsall. He got shot. There's been some trials and tribulations, but that's all behind him now. And it's like, I don't see him separating. I watched the All-22. You know, if you watch the All-22, you're going to see some separation, but it's a matter of when do you separate?
It's not early. He's not getting open early. And to be honest with you, he's not the first read on a lot of plays and should not be.
Right.
And you kind of have to throw the Buffalo Bills game out of the window a little bit. Like, you got to throw it out. Like, he had maybe the worst traction. Him and Juwan Jennings had the worst traction. They were falling all over the place. And the one play where he was wide open for 4+ seconds, Brock tried to throw it to him. It slips out of his hand, wobbles, and then he falls down on top of that. It was just, like, as bad on bad on bad. But Pearsall's getting open. He's not getting open early. My biggest critique of Pearsall, I don't think that he's a bust. I don't think we can go there just yet. You have to be able to get teams to play man coverage. And the way that you do that is by running the ball efficiently. We're not doing that consistently enough because of our interior offensive line, handful of other reasons, whatever else. I know in the Bills game you did, but that was a weird one. Throw that one out. He's getting rerouted at the offensive line by nickel corners, linebackers, anybody going against him. And when they touch him, that dude flies. You saw that on tape at Arizona State. You saw that on tape at Florida. The play strength is not there currently. He can beat man coverage all day. Zone, he doesn't have a feel for yet. That's not there. I don't think it's a bust. And again, probably my number one Shanahan critique is misappropriation of draft capital. You never should have drafted a wide receiver with that 31st pick. It never should have. I mean, he didn't even draft one defensive lineman. Should have drafted a defensive lineman with that pick. And so as much as I wanted Zach Frazier, you could have got Rucaroro.
That's who I wanted. I wanted Rucaroro.
There were guys that were available that were there, and I understand none of those guys got shot. I'm not ready to throw, you know, the bus thing out with Ricky yet, but definitely, you know, draft a first-round pick, no catches for three consecutive games. You could even throw in your fourth-round pick, Jacob Cowing, not even getting offensive snaps. Then you got one snap, and it was a clear-out route. He didn't even turn around and look for the ball because you're just a decoy on that route. It's a dagger concept, but yeah, Shanahan drafted, he spent more draft capital on wide receivers than any other team since he's been here, and we still have wide receiver issues. That is a major concern. I don't like it. I don't know if it's going to get better. Can't get worse, but there ain't nobody else. I mean, you want to elevate Ronnie Bell? You want to put Chris Conley in there? You got to work through it. Got to work through it.
Bible devotional material, who's I've never seen in the chat before, but maybe you're bringing him here. He says, I've been longing for Larry and John to get on the show together. John is so knowledgeable about the X's and O's, about what's going on. Absolutely, and that's why we're doing this. Let's hit Debo. What's your read on Debo? I kind of think Debo might go off Sunday. Why? Just because the Bears are, I looked at some of those numbers. They play cover 3 40% of the time. Now, in recent weeks, I've noticed that some of these numbers as far as zone and man, when they go against the Niners, their man numbers go up. So teams play more man coverage against the Niners than they play against other teams. That being said, Chicago plays 40% cover 3, and Debo against zone, I like the screens against zone. I want to see screen passes against this zone, and I definitely want to see Debo utilized if they play a lot of zone. But Chapman, I look at Debo right now. I want to like Debo because I really, I love all the big plays he's had, and there's something about Debo. He reminds me of a guy who shows up to beat you. Like, he doesn't show up for the glory or the this or that. He shows up to beat you. And I love him as a kick returner, even to this moment. I think he's a dominating kick returner, but that's buildup speed. And it's like, he's got buildup speed, but he doesn't have the same first or second step quickness that he had. So he's not getting it done as a runner. 2.5 or 2.9 a carry. That's a far cry from what we're used to the last few years. And as a receiver against man coverage, it's almost like it's like a non-starter. It's like he's got no shot. So where are you with Debo? Is he a $30 million kick returner, as some have suggested this week? Or are we overreacting to the latest thing that we've seen?
Yeah, I'd say it's somewhere in between. The explosiveness is still there. You see it in the kickoff returns. He's had three huge ones in two games. They were two of the worst games ever. But the route running's bad. The running is bad as a running back, but you're going to get probably 4 to 5 carries as a running back this week. Debo's going to probably be the number two guy in carries behind Isaac Garrido this week. It's my prediction. We'll see what that looks like. But so expect some more of that, whether it works or not. My biggest issue with Debo is even when Kyle schemes him open, like we ran screens finally for the first time in the snow game, he's going for the home run every time. And I want more Tony Gwynn. Get upfield, 4 yards is a good play, Debo, on a screen. If it's first, second down, 4 yards is fine. I know he always wants the 30-yard gain, but, man, he's passing up 4, 5, 6-yard gains and only getting 2 yards because he's trying to do the all-world, all-Madden play. which is a good thing at times, but have some situational awareness. We need to move the chains at times. And so that's been an issue. And then, you know, I'll add this. They're a cover three team. That means Drift is going to be open. That is his best route since he has been drafted. It's basically a 12-yard in-breaker where you curl behind the linebacker that's doing the 5-7 drop. Brock Purdy's missed that this year. He's been behind over the middle on those intermediate throws consistently. Go back to the game we could have won against Seattle where it was behind Debo and he didn't catch it. Man, talk about that one play was a little bit different. Either Debo makes a circus catch or Brock puts it a little bit ahead of him where he should. The narrative on this team is completely different. Not just Debo, not just Brock. The whole team would be different if you were 6-6 right now, but you're not. So can Brock and Debo hit on those intermediate crossers, those deep in breakers? That's huge. You should have those opportunities versus cover three. This linebacker group is good, not great. Those spots should be open. I expect a big Debo game as well, Larry. I'm with you.
Free safety. Can you play there? Because I can't, and we need one. I mean, you know, I love Malik Mustafa, but I think I see a strong safety. I loved Jair Brown until about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but he's a strong safety. And Hufanga, you know, outside of the one play he made in Green Bay in the playoffs, he's pretty much a guy who's better in the box and is more of a strong safety. So is it just that they have three, you know, I'm looking at the Legion of Boom when they had Earl Thomas, who was an awesome free safety and, you know, converted corner. And then they had the converted linebacker playing strong safety in Chancellor. I kind of feel like the Niners need their Earl Thomas. They need a coverage-based free safety that will allow those other guys to play up closer to the line of scrimmage. And it's like they're trying to get it done with three strong safeties, and it's not working.
It's funny. The 49ers offense and all the jet sweeps and dual pre-snap motions was one of the reasons that Seattle 3 was phased out, because you couldn't have pre-designated safeties anymore. Because if you do that Kittle double motion, then jet sweep over, you have to rotate the safeties where the free safety has to come down in the box and the strong safety has to go alleviate the free safety position. It's the only way that you can get numbers past strength side for run gap fits. So Shanahan's one of the guys responsible for making sure that doesn't work. And now here we are 8 years later, or actually more than that, but that's exactly what's killing us now. Because the 49ers would choose to have Jair Brown in the box all the time. It's weird to say this, and I hate saying this. I think he's the worst starter the 49ers have had this year, even worse than Jake Brendel, which I think is saying a lot. He had so much hope and promise. Nick Sorensen has done him no favors because he cannot play deep zone coverage. He cannot play deep man coverage. He cannot run fit from that, you know, 15 yards on the hash as that free safety spot. And so, yes, the 49ers want 27 Jair Brown in the box, and they're okay with Malik Mustafa, who that's not his strength, but he's not going to bust plays, and he will come fill the run gaps appropriately almost every time. But, man, you double motion, and now we're just, like, holding our breaths. When you see Jair Brown back as a middle safety in a cover one man scheme, you've lost before the snap. And I think it was Baker Mayfield literally laughed whenever he saw how we lined up to him on third down. He didn't have his number one or number two wide receiver. Baker Mayfield was laughing at us and converted like a 3rd and 16, I think it was. Like, I don't know how you get around it unless you let somebody else play there. I wish Tayshaun Gibson would get some snaps because it's just been so bad with Jair Brown. But yeah, we do not have a free safety. And if you just, man, we go out there and we show single high safety, you're going to see a double motion to the opposite pass strength side, and you're going to see 27 have to motion to the back, and we're cooked. I mean, it's just, there's a reason why we're one of the worst third down teams. There's a reason why we're one of the worst red zone teams. A lot of it has to do with scheme and putting players in positions they can't be successful, and Jair Brown just can't play that spot this year.
Another guy who just absolutely is seeming like he's getting exposed on a regular basis is Devondre Campbell. To me, if you said, you know, and I've had buddies, you know, who are like casual Niner fans who are like, Krug, you know, I know you're following the Niners every day, and you know, I've been traveling, I only get a chance to see a few games a year, and they'd be like, Krug, what, you know, give me the thumbnail, you know, sketch on what, where, you know, why they're they're not good this year compared to last year. They were in the Super Bowl last year. And, you know, where have they backslid? And I'm like, well, it's several areas. The injuries have factored in. But the ones that really stand out to me, the ones that absolutely are like, whoa, last year's weapons were Christian McCaffrey. He was the reigning, he was the offensive player of the year. Ayuk in a level of conditioning that he never got to this year. Debo a year younger, Kittle a year younger. They had great weapons last year and they all played really, really well. Debo's backslid. Ayuk's wasn't the same player, then got hurt. Kittle has had a good year, but he's like the only one. McCaffrey is broken down. Juszczyk looks like he's at the end. And it just like, to me, it's their skill positions on offense were the best in the league. And now they're just not the best in the league. And then on defense, their linebackers were the best in the league. And now they're not anywhere close because Azeez is a Texan and Greenlaw has yet to play a down. And he is, you know, and I know, and all Niner fans know that Dre Greenlaw is an all-pro linebacker, whether he's been recognized, he's an all-pro player. 100%. And you're taking him off the field and you're replacing him with a subpar Devondre Campbell, whose best days have come and gone. And Campbell has no lateral agility. We saw Kyler Murray run right by him on that 50-yard touchdown run earlier this year. He didn't get a finger on him. You know, we saw Seattle isolate him early in the game against DK, and he's in full trail position. He cannot run. He's not even a reasonable facsimile. They have gone with him all year. No, they don't ever change. Nobody gets cut. Nobody gets waived. Nobody gets picked up. It's the same guys week after week after week. And I'm asking Sorensen, what's up with Campbell? Why not Winters? We like Campbell. Well, guess what? You're going to like Campbell right to the fucking unemployment line, okay? You're going to like Campbell right to your getting a pink slip. You know, you're going to get like Campbell right to your coaching in another league somewhere else far, far away. So Kyle loves Sorensen. Sorensen loves Campbell. And I'm losing my mind over here because they're losing games and they look atrocious. So that to me is what I see, John. If I said to you, the backslide is due to what individually, I'm pointing to skill positions and linebackers. What would you point to?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was talking to some, I think it was Wayne Breezy. Shout out to Wayne Breezy. He's awesome. I was talking to Wayne
Breezy. I said, hi, I haven't talked to Breezy in a while.
And I was like, man, you know what the number one positional strength is for the 49ers last year? It was linebackers. It wasn't wide receivers. It wasn't running backs. It was linebackers. It was Fred Warner, and it was Dre Greenlaw. Those two guys gave you the largest advantage over 31 other teams and their linebacker groups. Even the Ravens, who were probably number two last year, like it was just uncanny what you could do. And in a 4-2-5 world, the nickel defense that is pretty prominent, you know, 70%+ of snaps, you had an advantage because they were A-plus run defenders and A-plus coverage guys. That hasn't been the case this year. You had it for Fred until that ankle injury. Fred ain't been the same since. And Devondre Campbell hasn't been there at all. Now, if I'm going to be honest, I've been clamoring as well for D. Winters to overtake that spot. D. Winters is on back-to-back bad games. He does not consistently fill his run gaps appropriately. Now, Devondre Campbell will get there. He just won't make the play. So, like, mentally and on the board and, you know, experience-wise, I understand why they like Campbell. But at some point, you got to turn on the tape. Campbell's slow. He's big. Can't cover. D. Winters can cover. He gets all of his zone drops, the difficult ones, too. The transition needs to be made. And I think you started to see it. For the first time this year, D. Winters out-snapped Devondre Campbell. It was by, like, one snap. But at least something
was that last week?
Change. Yeah, that was last week against the Bills.
Good. I didn't even notice that.
During the second and third quarters, they used D. Winters as the number two back. And then so first and fourth, it seemed like Campbell was the number two linebacker. So they're starting to mix up the rotation. Whether he got banged up, I don't know. But he was out there in two linebacker sets with Fred Warner for two quarters, and that was good. Made some mistakes, made a lot of mistakes, but I don't give a damn. I'll take the young guy with upside over the past aging vet that's on a downward trend nonstop, especially whenever you're 5-7.
Well, and nobody wants to talk about it, but you know why the Niners got back-to-back 12-man on the field penalties is that Campbell wouldn't come off the field.
Yep. Yep.
They sent a guy on the field. They were going to a nickel or a dime look. They wanted him off, and he didn't come off. And it's like, dude,
Yeah, we were in that 5D line set, and so we wanted a 5D line dime front. Dime backside, and yeah, he just, nah, I ain't coming off. I'm number two. And it's one, that's another communication Nick Sorensen thing, all the busted coverages. That's just another freaking nail on the wall. This guy can't get his players to communicate for garbage, and it just keeps costing the 49ers. Just keeps
it's absolutely, it's crushing. And, you know, I mean, there are other teams that have defensive coaches that they don't have the look they want. Do they sit with it for a whole year and say, oh, well, I'll just hope next year's better? No. Mike McDonald had Jerome Baker and Terrell Dodson at inside linebacker in Seattle in week one. They were getting run on left and right, and he said, screw this. So he picked up Ernest Jones, who got cut by the Rams or got traded by the Rams to the Titans, and then he basically traded for Ernest Jones. So he brought in Jones. Then he cut Dodson, who was the leading tackler at the time, and signed or added Tyrese Knight, their fourth round pick out of UTEP, to the starting lineup. Since that point, Knight's been a revelation. They're way better against the run with this tandem than they were with the first tandem. You know what? If you don't like the results, switch out the players. I mean, to sit there all year with Devondre Campbell like he was, some proud 49er, a Keena Turner or something. Come on, you signed this guy off the street. It didn't work out. You should have learned that Gutekunst wanted no part of him, but instead you're like, we got a find here. No, you don't. You got a slow linebacker, and you're trying to replace a stud linebacker with a subpar linebacker, and the difference has been astronomical.
Hopefully we get Greenlaw back next week. Hopefully we get him. But that's my thing. It's like Sorensen just like, oh, you know, we got to do better. We got to change everything. We got to change. Like, there's nothing that's working. There's nothing that's working. Why are you always in cover one man on third downs? We do it. We're a zone team with guys that can't play man. Renardo Green can't play man. He busted coverages nonstop. Can't run a guard a rub route to save his life. Devondre Campbell, are you kidding me? Like, no. Jair Brown, no. We have three subpar cover man guys, but we're putting them in man every third down. And it's like, no wonder. Like, this is not who the 49ers have been. It's not who you drafted. It's not who you developed. But we just keep putting them in positions where they cannot be successful. And, yeah, I mean, Devondre Campbell's not good. And this is probably the last stop of his career. But, man, why are you relying and putting him in the most difficult situations ever, continuously? It's a Sorensen thing for me. I don't know about you, Larry, but this is – I've seen enough. I've seen enough.
Well, I mean, and it's like I've tried to ask some tough questions. And it's like, you know, I mean, I'm trying to advance this story, and it's just – you know, I mean, the last one, I almost felt like, you know, Sorensen kind of was like, no Moss. Here he is. This is from Thursday. I'll play this one for you. This is from Thursday.
The red zone is just, I mean, 9 for 9 the last 2 weeks.
It's, yeah.
100%. It can't get worse. It's a crisis situation. What is there a solution? Is there an answer?
We're looking at everything. I mean, there's, you know, whatever it needs to be done, we're trying. We got to act the same thing. Same as the run. We got to – same as not taking the ball away. Same as third down. These, like, situational parts of our defense have to get better. It doesn't matter who's in there. We got to coach it better. We got to execute better. So look at every aspect of it. Evaluate everything. Looking at ourselves even more throughout what we've done. Is there things we need to change? Do we just need to tighten up what we're doing? So we're just evaluating. And then it's also your opponent. You know, does that apply to who you're playing? So – It's not good. It's not good enough. We have to get it better.
What's your takeaway from that, John? I mean, is he saying anything there that, I mean, it just seems like talk's cheap. And he's not running from it. He's not like he's not taking accountability. He's taking accountability, but you know, we need to try everything is not, you know, I don't know. That's not a very inspiring answer. Maybe no answer is an inspiring answer at this point, but it just doesn't seem like, whether it's Brandon Staley or Nick Sorensen or the combo platter, they don't seem like they have the answers. And look at the Chargers defense without Staley this year compared to last year when they gave up 63 points to the Raiders. They sure look a whole lot better without Brandon Staley in LA.
They lead the NFL in points currently.
Right. Yeah.
I'll say this.
Largely the same players, by the way.
Yeah. Didn't change a lot over there. I'll say this, you know, our defensive coordinator has the personality of Pet Rock, and I don't care what he says in a freaking press conference. I want to see some type of adjustment on the field. And every single time the offense breaks the huddle and you telegraph off cover three, cover one man, quarters, whatever it is, from the jump, there's no disguising. They maybe have disguised 5 to 6 coverages this season. And so whenever you allow teams offensively to see what you're in, and we don't have any checks. So if they double, triple motion, whatever, we don't check. We just stay. It is the most vanilla defensive scheme I have seen in the NFL. I would probably argue college football as well. It's just so basic. It's basic. And so I want to see something on the field, man. Like, try to confuse somebody. You played a rookie quarterback this week that's been sacked more than almost any quarterback in NFL history to this point in the season. Man, let's just try to confuse somebody. Brand new head coach. Maybe we bring the fight to them. Maybe we don't sit back and just let everybody blow the doors off of our defense. Maybe you bring some fire. Maybe you call more than a 5-person blitz. Maybe you do a zone blitz, which he has no clue what that is because we never do it. If we blitz, we're in man every time. We're not a man team. Like, there's so many things you could do, but he's just going to keep doing the same damn thing. And so I don't care what he says. I quit watching his conferences because I'm just like, I don't see anything, any adjustments whatsoever on the field. Dude's just lost. He is in so far over his head. And the only reason why he got the job is because he's a yes man to Kyle. Add that one, Larry, to the Kyle criticisms, because that should be paramount right here. Like, stick with this guy.
Here's the bigger question. Should they have dumped Kocerek and gone to Fangio, who went to Philly, completely turned their defense around? They added Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, got Jalen Carter to have a, you know, fly right, and suddenly Philly's defense is number one in the league. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody in the pass defense. Tampa did whatever they wanted in the playoffs. They get Fangio, and suddenly they turned it around. Niners wanted Fangio, but they didn't want to go to the 3-4. They didn't want to go away from Chris Kocerek in the wide nine. Should they have?
Yeah, now hindsight for sure. Then I was saying no. I love the Wilkes hire. Obviously, that didn't go wrong, and I'm fine with moving off of Wilkes after the playoff run and what happened there. But to replace him, like, don't fire Wilkes to replace him with Sorensen. That was the thing. All 31 teams had their DCs hired at that point. Like, you were going for scraps. But now with where you are, you lose this game or you lose versus the Rams, I want to see a change. I want to see a change down the stretch to see whatever it is. You got to get somebody new in here no matter what. I don't think Sorensen's job's salvageable at this point. And the fact that Kyle's like, oh, yeah, I'm really, really happy with Nick, like, that tells me he's already made his decision. I think he'll be demoted to something else or go somewhere else after this. You remember how much he threw Wilkes under the bus, like, week 4, though? Like, just night and day difference in how you're treated. And again, we're the number one scoring defense in the entire NFL. Now, that defense was more, I mean, you had more talent for sure, but it's not like we're the 31st defense in the NFL with the roster we're putting out there. We're not. But coaching them, we're taking so much off.
The major question that I think all 49er fans are wondering this week is, are the Niners going to circle the drain? The last 2 weeks, they've just been embarrassed. I mean, it just they weren't going to win those games no matter what, but they were thoroughly embarrassed and outclassed. Are they going to circle the drain, or are they going to get up and off the deck and fight? I mean, that's really – I wanted to ask that question to Kyle so bad this week, but I felt like he would – he was, you know, give me – well, of course, you know, we're going to fight. I mean, what's he going to say? You know, no, we're going to fucking circle the drain. But, I mean, they got the Bears this week at home. They get the quick turnaround with the Rams rolling in Thursday night. Then they have a cross-country flight to Miami to take on the Dolphins. They come back for the Lions on Monday Night Football. Hopefully that game means nothing for Detroit. Then they finish in Week 18 against the Cardinals on the road. Are the Niners going to get off the deck and fight and claw and make a run at that final playoff spot that's open to them, the NFC West division title? Or are they going to lose to the Bears and go out meekly and quietly and circle the drain? What's it going to be?
I think that this Bears team is the second best team we play in our final five game stretch. Like, I think it's Lions Bears. I think that the Bears are better than the Rams, Cardinals, and Miami. If I'm going to be honest with you, I think they're a more complete team. Yeah, they've lost a bunch in a row, but man, they've all been close. This game, it's either going to be close or the Niners are going to get blown out. If Kyle can commit to the run and get some screens and play action and run the ball 26 plus times, I think the Niners have a chance at winning this game. However, if you don't trust your running backs and you go and throw the ball 35 plus times, I think this is going to be the third blowout in a row. So can Kyle commit to the run and allow this team to operate the way that you've drafted and built it? If you can do that, I don't give a damn if it's Patrick Taylor back there, Kyle Juszczyk as your main running back. I don't care. Do not go out there and throw the ball 35 plus times. If you do, I think you're circling the drain. Commit to who you are. Play zone defense. That's who you are. Run the damn ball. Everything goes off of play action and all that. I think you can win this game. The Niners are not a terrible team. We're just doing things we're not used to, and it's not working. Go back to your bread and butter, the fundamentals. When we first started this show, Larry, it's fundamentals. Be who you are. Stop trying to be an air raid empty backfield. Delete that from the playbook, please. We don't have the wide receivers. We don't have the offensive line. We don't have what it takes to run that. Don't do that. Run the damn ball. I think you can win this game, but it's going to be close.
Let's hit a couple of these last ones. Kyle Kaiser says, Sorensen and Schneider have to go. There's no excuse. You're not going to get me to disagree there. Ryan Aloy says, culture and identity are extremely hard to establish. They had it. It seems like it's gone. How did that happen so quickly? I think what you're seeing is a completely watered down version of the Niners. I think the other thing is that we didn't really pay attention to this last year, but the Niners run D has not been great the last few years. They've leaned incredibly hard on exceptional play from Aziz, from Warner, and from Greenlaw. And if you take those guys off the field, you're going to find that those were the guys making all of the tackles. And then if you take them away, no tackles get made. So their run D is not an 11 guys bring a hat to the ball. It's Dre, save us. Fred, save us. Aziz, save us. And now,
and Hufanga, when he tore his ACL last year, that's when the outside run went after us. And that's when
that's
the,
another one. He's
stop it.
He's got great instincts for the run. Clarence Beek says, if you fly out of Niner games in the snow, if you fly out for Niner games in the snow, you
Buffalo.
Are legit.
I think that's what he's talking about there.
There you go. I don't know. Clarence, we know John is legit. Invader 49ers looking ahead to the draft. Walter Nolan, the three technique. Ole Miss has the get the fuck out of here that Chris Kocurek values and projects as a first rounder. He will be on the board when the Niners pick in the middle of the first round.
I think so too.
And he is one of my favorite players. Walter Nolan and Harris, the receiver at Ole Miss. Both those guys are pretty damn good. Slick 68. I'd love to see how this defense looks with Greenlaw, Warner, Huff, Mustafa out there at the same time. Bring back the pain.
Man, yeah, I love that. Physicality. We need it. We need it
seriously.
Bad.
Where is the swagger? Where is the pain? Jeb, wide nine on third and short fucking enrages me every time. Yeah, it's easy to run against the wide nine. There's no question. BFC Sun, would you guys like to try Staley out for remaining games if Sorensen blows it again this week?
Anything.
Seriously. BF Sun, what are you doing? You got a free time? We might call you down to the sideline. All right, that's going to do it for us. Last one, Izzy Abanaconda. I'm fired up about Izzy Abanaconda, and everybody's laughing at me. Is Ibi Abanaconda going to get any run with the Niners? What do you think?
This week, maybe one or two plays. Next week, probably. I don't think that he's going to be the number two or three running back this week, but next week and the following week, especially that third week from now, yes. I think it's going to be, you need a little bit more time. He did get every practice this week, but only three practices in. So running back's one of the easiest positions to pick up quick, but Shanahan likes time in the system, so yeah, I think it'd be a little while. Give him a couple just preordained plays. We're going to run this play with you. We're going to run this play with you. That's it. Get his feet wet. I think you'll see him back there as kick returner next to Debo, though.
John, I'm liking this. I'm liking this stream, man, and the fans are loving it as well. Let's do this again. What do you got cooking between now and game day? Promote anything that you'd like here on the way out.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. Our next big event, we're doing the 49ers Rush Road Trip where we go host events and all that stuff. The Arizona game, we're going to have a blast. Whether that game matters or not, I don't give a damn. I love the Niners, whether they're in contention or not. And I know a lot of you guys are the same way. We're the faithful. Go check out 49ers Rush Road Trip. If you're going out to Arizona, we're going to have a huge tailgate. We're going to have a huge party the night before. Whether we're in playoff contention or not, baby, we show up, Larry.
That's awesome, man. And you, what do you fly in Friday, Saturday? And is it the same every time or different? And if people want to go, how do they go?
Yeah. So with it being a flex game, because you don't know if it's Saturday game or Sunday, if it matters,
right.
It could be determined if you get into the playoffs or not. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We'll have an event the night before the game, and we'll have a tailgate right outside the stadium, which is a blast. Arizona chapter, dude, they show up like 400 strong. We always have a great party in Arizona. So it's going to be a lot of fun. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get your tickets.
Hey man, if you put out the word on X, tag me and I'll gladly retweet it for you. And who knows? Every little sense of a step of momentum helps in these things for sure.
Appreciate
hey man,
that.
I just want to say, you know, thank you. You inspired me in my early days when I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. If I don't know if I like this, I don't know if I can do it, if I can't. Dude, and there was a lot of uncertainty in those first months,
man.
And I just, you're one of the guys that I kind of looked to and was like, hey man, John's doing it and he's having success. You had a ton of confidence at the time, and I was like, wow, you know what? I can do this. This guy's given me a template of kind of the way it should go, and I just want to thank you for that. And let's stream again, man. Let's do something on the regular. We can communicate about that during the week, but. Awesome to see you, man. Happy holidays to you and the family, and thanks for coming on the Krug Show and dual streaming with on your channel, and have a great Saturday, man.
Dude, you're the best. Shout out to your son running things. He's killing it as well, man. You're the best, Larry. Thanks a lot, man.
I have three sons. I call Kev I said, you know, you're not special. You're a system son. I can plug in somebody else if I need to. Anyway,
make one that looks just like you.
Yeah, exactly. Good to see you. Hey, everybody, join me in 9 minutes on KMBR. We'll do an hour from 10 to 11. Dave Lombardi's going to stop by. For John Chapman, I'm Larry Kruger. Peace, everybody. Have a great Saturday.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you asked for. Careful, whatever you bring me.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.